Amen. This is the 18th message in a series entitled To Death with Him. The particular subtitle of the message this morning is Life, Through Death, and the Tree of Life. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning with verse 27. The message that I intended to bring Friday night, I brought an extemporaneous one instead. The Lord willing, we'll be bringing tonight. And the Lord willing, would like to have, I was hoping to do that this morning, but we weren't able. And again, the Lord willing, would like to be able to ask Ron Myrick to share considerable detail about the satellite church that we have. I wish that all of you would be here to hear it. We might not get it done tonight. If not, maybe next Sunday morning. But I want you to be able to hear how it got started and how the church grew and what it's like, what it looks like, how big it is, how it changed the location, what God's been doing there, what the climate is and the situation around it. I think you'd be interested in knowing more about what's going on back in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and our satellite church. Would you be interested in that? And Ron, you'll be prepared. Ron has indicated a desire to express this. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin unto salvation. Now here it says it's appointed unto men once to die. But originally, before the fall, it was ordained of man to eat of the tree of life and live forever, and that he might never die. It was not God's original purpose that man die. It was the original purpose that he might live and come into abundant life more and more. God ordained man, who was created in the image of God as the head of the human federal race, to grow into God's likeness as he fellowshipped with God and partook of the tree of life, which continually renewed his cells, that he would grow more and more like God as he continued to live, by reason of the fact that he was walking and talking and fellowshipping with God in the cool of the day, and that he was spending time with God, becoming more and more like him, seeing what God was like. Man fell, and God had to ordain death to bring sin under control. But he sent Jesus in the fullness of time that we might live and have life. And that as Jesus said, he that believeth in me shall never die. Now man listened to the wrong source of information in the garden. And man is still listening to the wrong source of information. God was the only reasonable one to listen to. It made no sense to listen to the devil. It made no sense to listen to anybody that said, hath God said. Since God was God, he was the only one that it was reasonable to listen to. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
Then why don't we?
That's right.
Why do we listen to the devil, since it makes no sense to listen to him?
Amen.
You wouldn't listen to a pervert, would you? To give you a balance of life? Then don't go to some colleges out here. If you would not do that, don't listen to the devil, because he's perverted.
Amen. Amen.
Some of you high school children, let me call them your children, your children, young men and women, don't listen to those that are perverted from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and walking in sin and worldliness. Why should you listen to those perverts?
Yes.
Spiritual perverts. Don't listen to spiritual perverts.
Amen.
Listen to the word of God. Listen to men of God.
Yes.
look and aspire to the high school kids that are walking with truth and faith that are going to make the rapture.
Yes.
Why should you look, listen to somebody who's going to make hell your home?
Amen.
They're not cool, they're hot.
That's right.
And it's going to get hotter.
Amen.
They're perverted, they're confused, mixed up, and full of the minds and things of the devil. Don't listen to that.
Yes.
Don't look out to Hollywood fame. That's a filthy sewer pool.
Amen.
T. Texas Tyler, who became the most popular Western star in America due to $1 million advertisement by his managers and some ability to sing, was converted, gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and had a real conversion, not a Hollywood holiness, as Ralph Wilkerson terms what a lot of them are doing today. I heard him give his testimony 2-3 times, and he made the statement that Hollywood is cleansed by, I don't remember all of it, but some of the fact of Las Vegas to the east and west and Reno to the north, and I don't remember what else to the south and the other west, but he was saying in effect, it's worse than all the rest of it put together.
Amen.
And yet the people of the world have made it their heroes and their heaven. My, I've lost you on that one. Don't you know what I'm saying? Is your heart fail? Hollywood heroes, they've become the, you know, source of... That is such a filthy pool down there.
Yes.
Man found a shortcut to God's plan of becoming like God by eating of the tree of life and just obeying God, just trusting God to tell him what he needed, take day by day, and just walking in the way and growing like him. The shortcut was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This appeared to them to be a shortcut. Surely they would be wise like God. And this would bring them the wisdom to be able to be like God. Because if they had the knowledge of good and evil, then surely they would have the wisdom to act, to make right choices between good and evil, and therefore live like God. That certainly seemed to be a shorter path than just walking with God day by day and listening to what he had to say until you eventually grew to be like him. But man can't just be like God. There is nothing you can do by any life or spiritual action or yourself or anything to just be like God. You must walk with him.
Amen.
And talk with him. And fellowship with him.
Yes.
And open your heart to him. And let him open his heart to you.
Yes.
And learn of him. Learn what he's like. And to be able to value him highly. And to grow to love him.
Yes.
And to learn to champion God's heart.
Yes.
Man today is still looking for shortcuts.
Right.
That's why men are such suckers for religious gimmicks. That's why these radio announcers who are wanting to get lots of letters with money in them into their studios to build greater religious ability, that's why some of them are offering certain things, and because the people are gullible. If the people weren't gullible and naive, they had their heads screwed on straight and had knowledge, they'd never buy that stuff. And so you get in the mail, and I've gotten this stuff. I'm on the sucker list, have been for a long time. I never bite, but then they never finish to take the care of the mail back there. I get little pieces of cloth in there, little piece of hunk of burlap, 2 inches by 2 inches. And this is a very valuable piece of cloth because it came from the Holy Land, and it was dipped in the River Jordan on somebody's vesture when he got baptized. Baptized somebody, and it was anointed with olive oil from the Mount of Olives, if you can believe that. And it was prayed over in the upper room. I mean, in the area of the upper room. And maybe even where Christ was allegedly buried. And therefore, this valuable piece of cloth comes your way to help you do better in God. And you should retaliate by sending them some money. Either that or a time bomb, but they have bought for centuries. They have bought little pieces of the cross of Christ. I suppose those probably many hundreds of tons have been sold of the cross of Christ by now. Relics, you know, you go to St. Peter's Basilica and the steps and places, they've been kissed into great grooves and so forth, polished smooth by the lips of flesh, kissing the steps. People have gone to great lengths to get something, to get a shortcut. If there's just some way besides dying to self, some way but besides just believing God and obeying Him and following Him. This is why Catholicism has become popular, because there are ways that are offered by buying candles and lighting them and praying for the dead and saying Hail Marys and all kinds of penitence. And there are people think, you know, you've got to do some works. You know, some people can't buy the free thing. If I can just get something, you know, and give to God, and I can get 100 times more, I can get a promise, or this will be, my name will be inscribed someplace of note, or I will, they will pray for me if I send in this certain kind of money. Certain person will take my name over to Palestine and pray for me in a certain, on the mount. Mount Tabor, where they think that the Lord was transfigured, although I'm positive He wasn't transfigured there. There was a Roman garrison on that flat top, 2,500 degree hill at the time of that, and that didn't fit the thing at all. But they're going to pray for you on Mount Tabor. Mount Tabor? Pray for you on Mount Tabor. Up there with the Mount of Transfiguration, where Christ was transfigured so long ago. All these religious gimmicks trying to do something for you, see. You can buy this book that's been sealed with 7 seals. God gave them this information, and it's sealed, and you can buy the book, and it has seals, because if it's rolled and sealed with 7 seals, it might, you know, all of this thing, because people are hunting for something more of God and won't take the path that God ordained. Not willing, hunting for some other way around God. Now, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil should make one wise enough to avoid evil and choose God. If anything could, you would think that of a tree that would give you the knowledge of good and evil, that ought to do it. But it hasn't. And it doesn't. Because knowledge is not the answer. Life is. God's life. Men are teaching today that knowledge is the answer. Knowledge is not the answer. We have got PhDs in science until men today can pick up a phone and talk to somebody in a submarine halfway around the world. You can talk to somebody in a phone driving down the car, a highway in an automobile, and there's no wires attached to the automobile, and you're on the phone to somebody in London. Fantastic. You can be under the sea in a submarine and you can watch what's happening someplace else. You can be up in a satellite and watch what's happening on the ground. You can be over here and seeing people clear over in London on a stage acting by means of a satellite. And you're sitting here watching people's faces at the same time it's happening halfway around the world and seeing the face. I mean, that is so fantastic. Look at the moral wilderness we're in. Look at the condition of this great knowledge. In kindergarten, spiritually, the nation's in deep trouble. Spiritual babes. Ever since Adam and Eve partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, man has been aspiring to know instead of to live. In the last days, knowledge shall be increased, the scripture says.
Right.
And knowledge has been increased. But spiritually, we've been decreasing. Excepting for those who are in the inner circle of the Church of Jesus Christ, the revelation has been increasing.
Yeah,
but outside of that, spiritual knowledge has been decreasing.
Right.
Knowledge of God's principles and knowledge of God's word does not keep us from sinning. Only the life of God will.
Yeah.
Now, Christians are still seeking knowledge so that they do not have to walk by faith. Faith in God's word or faith in God himself. They're forever going off into a lone corner, into their prayer chamber, and saying, "Lord, show me. Then I'll step out. Show me. Tell me." Like the Jews that Jesus blamed for seeking a sign all the time instead of believing God. Give us a sign. Show us a sign that you are the Son of God. The only sign you're going to get is the sign of Jonah. 3 days and three nights in a whale's belly. That's the sign you're going to get when I die, and that's the only sign you're going to get. Now, I know you want a different sign. You want a sign of the Son of Man coming down, the Messiah coming in a whirlwind from heaven in a chariot, stepping off and embracing the Pharisees. You're not going to get it. He said, "Lord, show me and I'll walk." And he said, "No, you walk and I'll show you."
Amen.
"Show yourself and I'll believe." He said, "No, believe and I'll show myself."
Amen.
"You tell me and I'll go." And he said, "No, you go and then I'll tell you." "Anoint me and I'll witness." He said, "No, you witness and I'll anoint you."
Amen.
"Give me revelation and I'll read your book." He said, "No, you read the book and I'll give you revelation."
Amen.
Do what God says and God will back it up. But we're trying to circumvent that. We're trying to have shortcuts. "Show me the way." We are unwilling to walk by faith. We're saying, "Lord, I want the tree of knowledge. I want to know before I do anything." He said, "That's unbelief. That's unbelief."
Amen.
He told Abraham to go out not knowing, and I'll show you when you get there.
Right. Amen.
Obey the word.
Amen.
Obey the principles. Trust God to bring it to pass.
Yeah.
You don't have to know everything ahead.
Amen.
Yes, he'll reach down to somebody and say, "Your ministry in the future is going to be this." God works differently with different people.
Right.
You don't have to wait until you know the ministry. You're not going to Bible college.
Right.
You just witness all over, do what the hand findeth to do, be a blessing to God, win all the saints that you can, as so, sinners you can, build up the saints, and you'll find yourself in a ministry someday.
Right.
The Holy Ghost will get you there. You will be in a ministry. All of a sudden, you'll find yourself in the thick of a ministry. You'll be in it.
Amen.
Quit trying to eat at the tree of knowledge all the time. Trust the Lord to take care of your life. You're trying to build a big pattern of unbelief so that in the future, you cannot trust God unless he shows you ahead of time. You're in trouble.
Right.
And I'll tell you something else. Although the Lord's been using me in certain areas, limited areas, in miracle healing, if you get to a place where you will not trust that God heals you unless you see a miracle, you are throwing away a marvelous blessing of healing purchased for you on Calvary.
Amen.
Because God never promised you instantaneous healing.
Right.
God, you have no demands that you can put at the teller's cage of heaven for an instantaneous healing, and God can kill that virus inside of you, and your throat still may be swollen up because of that virus, and the tissues can be red, and the inflammation can be there, and your nose can be weeping, and your eyes can be weeping, and you feel as bad as before, and yet God killed the virus instantly, and the body which God has designed to throw off that will throw it off, and in 3 days you'll be wonderful.
Yeah.
And if you decide that God didn't heal you, because you did not believe, then let not that man who wavers as the seeds think he shall receive anything from the Lord. And you can lose the very healing, and the devil will be able to put the virus right back on you again.
That's right. Amen.
You trust in God. And if he's pleased to heal you now, praise the Lord. And if he doesn't, you hold on and believe anyway.
Amen.
Well, isn't it important to know the word of God? Isn't it important to have knowledge of God? Isn't it important to know the will of God? Yes. But man is trying to walk and have life by knowing these things. Whereas God wants us to know and to walk because we have his life.
Amen.
You cannot really know God and the Word of God to the fullest extent without having a life in the Spirit.
That's right.
There is no way. All your brilliant hermeneutical scholarship will fail you from being able to come to the fullness of revelation, for these things are spiritually discerned.
Yes.
You will learn much through scholarship, hermeneutical principles, careful analysis, and much study and comparisons and correlations and putting things together. But you cannot come to the final spiritual answer without the life of the Spirit and the revelation of God, because you will interpret it in a lower vein. You will interpret it in a way that cannot reach to the heights of what God has, and you won't even see many of the marvelous mysteries that are clothed and hidden in these places. You'll only be able to see the outward.
Amen.
And you'll miss it entirely.
Right.
And I see so clearly, from my Bible understanding and knowledge, and reading the commentators, who I value highly, good men of God, learned a great deal from them. They've got all their life in the Word and scholarships, as much they can learn in the history and the Hebrew and the Greek and the various things. Yet, I can see so clearly that what they need is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I can see enormous lack across all areas of the Scriptures.
Yes.
Because of lack of having the Holy Ghost indwelling them to enlighten them to a higher place. Plus, living at an age where God has not been pleased yet to bring a fuller revelation, there are certain veils that they could not penetrate through that are becoming clearer as we get closer to the end of time.
Yes.
And there are some things that God will not allow me to see until I come up higher with Him.
Right.
And there are some things God will not allow me to see until you are in a place that you are willing to receive it and will do something with it, lest you be judged for giving you revelation that you will not handle and cannot and will not. And so God in His mercy withholds from us revelation that we be not further judged. There are some people out here that cannot come into certain truths that we have and other truths that maybe we haven't yet, because it would only condemn them. The Holy Ghost will not show that to them in their state of unwillingness, because they will only be condemned all the more by it. So they're in a darkness with a veil over it, and they can't see for sour apples, as they say, because they're not willing to come out of church tradition and their present stand. And God will not show them, I don't care if they love God or not, He will not reveal to them certain revelations, because they're not willing and ready to handle it. When they get to that place, God will give it to them. Our text says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now why? Because man has rejected the plan of God. So it's appointed unto him to die. Because man has regarded the tree of life as being insufficient. And man has regarded the tree of the knowledge of good and evil as being sufficient. And because they have tried to circumvent God and have not believed, He has appointed them to die in their sins that He might redeem them. Man is still trying to climb up another way, but the way that God has ordained. Man is still trying to work out his own salvation by his own mind and by his own effort, and usually without much fear and trembling.
Right.
And more I see the utter necessity of trusting God.
Amen.
And of leaning upon Him and leaning upon His Word and paying no heed to the maximum profit curve of man. To pay no heed to what will get you the most friends and influence the most people out in the radio and television and Christian world. Paying no heed to what is popular with men.
Right.
Now I'm going to tell you something as an insert into my sermon. And I'll be on the radio again in a couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks. I'm not sure. I'm preaching right now. I'll preach my 13th sermon in this new series again, which is the old subject of the Word of God, just opening my heart. More and more, I'm becoming more and more dogmatic along a certain line. And I don't mean closed-minded. I mean that God is bringing me to more and more conviction of the utter necessity to please God instead of man.
Amen.
And I will freely admit that I fully acknowledge that the way I am preaching, have been preaching, and probably will continue until the people change, is not a way that leads to popularity or a way that leads to large amounts of funds coming in to build more ministry or more radio stations, or that will engender a great popularity and building of radio stations. What I am doing is absolutely contrary to business sense and growth. And popularity is going to make me unpopular with many ministers across America. I know this. But I have a conviction, and I cannot get around the conviction and goading that God is putting in my soul. And as I'm teaching the book of Ezekiel again, the Holy Ghost is whooping on me, and I sense that what he's doing is cementing this in me and fortifying this concept. So what he's really doing is building a safety belt for me. Because there can be great pressures as you get more popular and reach out, you need money, you're trying to further the ministry. There is the temptation at that point of time to don't rock the boat. Say only that men will agree with. Don't say anything that they'll shut you off for. Be careful. You'll never pick on anybody for any reason whatsoever. Never give anything that might be damaging to explanatory and enlightening as to how to get out of anything that's wrong that ministers are putting people in. Leave that area alone. Don't touch it. I cannot forbear. And like the prophet Ezekiel, if you come tonight, you may get the rest of this. And if you don't come, if you don't want to hear it, don't come tonight. I may be preaching it. But I got a conviction, and like the prophet Ezekiel, God says, you tell them whether they will heal or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious nation. He said, now they won't heal you, but you tell them anyway. You tell them anyway. They have got a need to know what God is saying, whether they like it or not, want it or not, or will hear it or not. Amen. And there will be a few among them that will take it. And they have a right to heal. And just because the unrighteous who sold out do not have a heart for God does not mean that the righteous who are willing but don't know don't have a right to come into the truth. And he also said they'll know that a prophet's been here. Not now. They won't pay attention to you now. They'll laugh and mock you. But the day is coming. The day is coming, he says, that when these things come to pass and God's Spirit is with you, they'll reject those false prophets that prophesied blessing. They'll run right past them, and they'll come, and they'll find out that you were the prophet of God after all. I have a conviction that he that seeks to save his life shall lose it, and he that seeks to lose it for my sake shall find it. I have a conviction that he that is honest to the word and is popular with God, no matter if he be unpopular with man, is going to end up being exalted by God and blessed. And God will use that man to do the work of God in the earth. Amen. And all the men and the business heads that stand around you, and all the elders from coast to coast, and all the rest of the managers that say, brother, you're a fool, you're a sap, that is not the way you should go, it's unchristian, it's not charitable, quit saying things like that, wise up, see which side your bread's buttered on. Those men who are giving that counsel know not what they speak, and those that heed them will fall into the ditch, and in the end will be bypassed by the hungry multitudes who will trample over them to get to the one who's told them the truth all along. Amen. And the one who's unpopular but is faithful to God someday shall be the one that God will use, and they will heal him. Amen. And even if they didn't, he's popular with God throughout eternity. Amen. And so if some of you may be judging my radio stations, my radio messages, by saying, I don't think he should be doing this way, I am fully aware that is not the rationale of men. It has not reached the highest spot on the profit curve. My spirit will not forbear, and I care not a straw. It's God's message. It's God's church. And it doesn't make any difference if we go from 5 radio stations to 0 instead of 5 to 1,000. I don't have to have 1,000 radio stations. I don't have to have 1. I don't have to do anything but preach God's word. God never called me to have radio stations. He never called me to have a big church. He called me to preach His word. That's the only thing He's called me to do, is be faithful to God in His word. It's the only thing. And that I will do. And I believe that I will be failing God and man by shutting my voice.
Amen.
If somebody doesn't tell them, they'll never know.
Right.
God said to Ezekiel, I set thee as a watchman, and if a sword come against the land, and the watchman not cry out and warn the people, and they be chopped down by the sword, the blood will be at the watchman's head.
Right.
If these Christians are in trouble, if they are following wrong principles, wrong doctrine, and so forth, and I as a watchman have been given the light, and I can see the enemy coming in, and I can see the rapture about to occur, and I can see what God wants to do in the last days, and the Spirit trying to bring forth the bride, and I can see all the elders and the priests and others of Israel corrupting the things of God, and I speak not a word, then it will all be on, blood will be on my head. And I will not take that responsibility. There is no reason that I should endure their blood. I don't have to get anybody in the rapture. I have to only preach about it. It's up to them, between them and God.
Amen.
And so, with this in mind, I feel I cannot help it. When I go to preach, I just feel this thing like a torrent coming out. I've got to bring forth what's happening. The Christian world does not know what's happening in Christian America.
Amen.
The clergy is in horrible, horrible shape. Now, not many Christians know this. A lot of you don't know that. You don't really know what I'm talking about. But I know whereof I speak. I don't even know one-tenth of the shape, bad shape it's in. It's a lot worse than I even know. But I know enough to know it is in horrible shape. Now, that is not being said by any minister in America. Hardly. There are not many that will say that. It is the truth. Just like with ancient Israel. I could give you so much stuff this morning, but I don't want to stumble new converts, neither do I want to hit against the ministers of God.
Amen.
Just because some people are doing things unethically does not mean God doesn't still love them and He's still using them. There are people that are doing wrong, but God has given them a gift and God's going to use it. The gift shall reach out and bless others and heal others, and they themselves, some of them will become a castaway.
Yes.
Like Paul said, after preaching to others, lest I myself become a castaway. There are those that will preach the message to save souls, and they themselves will end up unsaved in the final analysis. And that's the truth. Some of you don't know that, but that's the truth. If you knew what I knew, you would understand and see things in a completely different way. And this evening, the Lord willing, I'll be bringing one area just to show you how paradoxical, twisted, and wrong, and far off the charismatic movement is today. Now, I believe. I'm a charismatic. That is, I believe in speaking in tongues and the charisma and the power of God. But they are 10 ways to sideways out there and don't know it. I'm going to bring one of the areas tonight. Just an integral part of the message. It's not a portion of the message. It's not the theme. Now, you see, I also want to say this. I believe that in this revelation God wants us to bring, these multiple revelations and the work of God, that in the long run, we are going to have more radio stations, more television, more opportunity with men than would ever be gained by joining the crowd.
Amen.
Of compromisers.
Amen.
That's my conviction.
Amen.
I'm not building for this year. I'm building for the ultimate final latter rain move of God, the harvest of the crops, the out translation of the bride of Christ, the man-child company, the from the womb of the woman, the army off the valley floor, endued with life and power, the last great wrap-up move of God of the ages. That is what I'm working on.
Yeah,
I'm not looking for right now. Now, after God's sons out here all run the wise selves out, after eating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and become winded and ragged and dry, and they find out the saints and the congregations are still sinning, still unwilling, still unwise, still babes, after they have been doing miracle healings among them, after they have been in all their campaigns and all their big quote revivals and everything else, they find out that they're still a mess, God will send life. After man has run himself into the ground and quit.
Amen.
And then God's going to show man the way to God. And man is going to eventually be willing, that is, those that will be. Then, after all their efforts fail, then God. That's what's going to happen.
Right.
They're going to all play all their big games and all their big businessman games and all their high-powered money games, and they're going to do everything else. And when they get themselves run into the ground, dry and ragged, worn out, God's going to have a people that know him. Who's going to come upon the breadth of the earth with power, and the other is going to just shut down and fall off, and all focal point will be upon those that know God, will be in God in his people. And that's what's going to be at, as they say. That's what's going to happen. And that's going to be the life-saving of those who will be out-translated. You see, but if it's appointed unto men once to die, then how can you have a rapture? Well, the rapture only for the dead.
Right.
The dead in Christ. The dead in Christ. Dead not only physically in Christ, but dead spiritually. Spiritually dead. We must die in Christ in order to rise with him. That was the message of Paul. We die with him in order to rise with him. I'm going to tell you one more thing. I'm not going to prove it to you this morning. I'm just going to tell you. The concept that the Bible and the promises of Jesus and the epistles are all talking about and all the theology is about, quote, normal Christianity, and which means Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist type, and then Corinthians in some places is for the Pentecostals, and you look and say, well, where are these special scriptures for the man-child? Where are these special promises for these, so forth? I'm going to tell you, that's the wrong view.
Amen.
The whole Bible and all the promises of Jesus and all the theology is aimed at the man-child elect company and bride of Christ. And everything else is falling short of what God's talking about.
Yeah.
This Son of God, these sons of God, these born of the Spirit, these all are all the chosen, elect treasures of God of the highest order.
Yes.
And that's why the promises are so, as it were, unconditional, although they are conditional. They come on so powerfully and dogmatic. That's why everything is oriented like it is. It is for the believer, total believer, all the way believer.
Amen.
God never had five different orders of believers.
Right.
He had one order of believers, all the way believers, full gospel believers, everything sold out believer, and all his word is aimed at that group of people.
Yeah.
He never had it set down at this group, and this is something special, and where are they then? No, this group is that group.
Amen.
And everybody else is falling short.
Right.
Verse 28 of Hebrews 9 again says, so Christ was offered once. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now Christ once offered himself. He can never die again.
Right.
He will never be put in penalty again for our sins. He already bore that past, present, and future. So we who die in Christ can never die again. We will never die of the second death, as the scripture says, which is the lake of fire. Because we have died once in Christ. And having died in him, we'll never die that second spiritual death. Now, Christ never was called upon to bear our sins again. And so we are not to bear our sins again.
Amen.
Once they have been put away, they are not to be borne by us again. We have bore them. We transferred it. Christ has now borne. God transferred our sins to Christ. It's been imputed to him. He bore them. And what did he do with them? God says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
Yes.
Our sins and iniquities are not to be brought up to our minds and consciences again.
Amen.
We are to remember them no more.
Right.
And if we are not to remember our sins, we are not to remember each other's sins.
That's right.
And that means husband is not to remember wife's sins, and wife is not to remember husband's sins that have been
Amen.
Forgiven. You have no right in subsequent family fights to bring up past sins that have been forgiven and put
Amen.
Under the blood of Jesus Christ. And I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and rebuke the devil
Amen.
That would bring up under the off the blood of Christ those sins that your mate has committed that you ever, I command you never to bring them up to your spouse again. If they are forgiven, you are not to bring them up again. And if you haven't forgiven them, you are wrong and you are to forgive them.
Amen.
You have any gripes, you start from the present. Don't bring up the past.
Yeah, right.
Isaiah 38:17 for a moment, please. And the only reason I command you is because I'm commanding you in the authority of the Word of God.
Amen.
For your own benefit. Isaiah 38:17. Behold, for peace I have great bitterness. Speaking about Christ bearing the sins. This is Hezekiah. Hezekiah's life here now is it was lengthened, and then he's thanking God. And it's reaching down to the future too. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. God casts all of our sins behind his back. Now where is that? Where is behind God's back? God is everywhere present and fills heaven and earth. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere present. He's everywhere present.
Amen.
He's cast it behind his back. Where's that? It's outside of everywhere. It's nowhere. It's gone. When God has forgiven you, brother, it's forgiven. Sin does break fellowship with God. The Bible says so. When we sin, sin goes to bed with us. When we wake up in the morning, sin rises with us. Sin, when you come to service, makes the singing of the music dull. It makes the testimony, words of man, of none effect. It makes the heavens brass. It makes laughter like mockery. It makes blessing like hypocrisy. It makes everything of another color. It makes life doldrums. That's what sin does. Sin makes the sound of judgment ring in our ears. When we sin, we know we are guilty. We don't need God to condemn us. We condemn ourselves. We sit in judgment of our own heart.
Yes.
We condemn ourselves to hell when we sin.
Yes.
We go around and tell others. We say so. We say, we outwardly express it. I can't make it. I've sinned too much. I'm going to hell. And you all, unless you believe
yes.
in the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace of God. There's no disease as bad as sin. There's no torture as bad as sin. Sin puts us on the cross of death. Sin puts us on the cross of God's judgment. But then, Jesus comes.
Yes,
Jesus. He offers himself for us. Sin's chains are broken. Sin's weight is lifted. Sin's spell is dispelled.
Yes.
And sin's power is overcome.
Yes.
And now we are free. Now we are free! He that the Son sets free is free indeed.
Amen.
And yet we are not our own. Free but not our own. Bought with a price.
Hallelujah.
Not bought to die for others. Not bought to die for him that died for us. but that we might live for him who died for us.
Yes.
And that we might die to sin that slayed us, so he will not slay us again.
Amen.
Is this too much to ask? To die to sin that slay us? And to live for him who died for us? Is that too much to ask? What more could you ask?
Yes.
Let's look at our example, Jesus Christ. Born in a manger. Became nothing. Least in the kingdom of God, that he might be the greatest. Become all things. That's what God has called us to do.
Amen.
Came into the world nothing. With nothing. Not even a sock on your foot. No knowledge or wisdom. Came in nothing. Look at what you can go out as.
Yeah.
Prince of the King.
Yeah.
Bride of Christ.
Hallelujah.
A partner of the devil in hell.
Hallelujah.
God has called us to be nothing, like Jesus, to humble ourselves, that he might exalt us in due season.
Yeah.
Jesus pledged himself in a covenant relationship with God. And God has called us to make a covenant. You young people, listen. God has called you to make a covenant with him. Have you made a covenant with God? If you're not, you're not one of the covenant people. In every communion service, in the communion of the blood, is a blood covenant you make with God.
Yeah.
All he has said, I will do. I make a covenant with him and drink and type his blood and eat his life, his body into me, that I might make a decision to walk with God and trust in his blood and his grace and the bread of heaven, the manna he sent down, and to trust in him and live from him, and that he might be my life, and I'll serve him. And if you haven't made that covenant, without a covenant, you cannot be in the covenant relationship. You cannot be in the promise of God. You don't have a contract with him, in other words. I would feel not to have a contract with God. You better keep the contract. The glory of God surrounded the birth of Jesus Christ. You say, well, how does that apply to us? Oh, the glory of God surrounded our spiritual birth too. We were born of the Spirit, born again. The glory of the Lord, with his Spirit was there, made all things new. Took away that weight of sin. Brought himself there. And then Jesus went into 30 years into obscurity, as it were, as the carpenter's son. Faithful, obedient, growing in grace and knowledge. Nothing in himself. And so with us.
Right.
Without a ministry. 30 years old. Listen. There was a trial time in the desert of Arabia, the backside of the desert. There was a time when we are to grow, be nothing, but grow with grace and knowledge of God. It may be a time of obscurity for your ministry, but after it will come your ministry.
Amen.
After it will come the anointing of God, and he'll send you out. And so Christ went out on a very dynamic and effective ministry.
Yeah.
Short ministry. And God's going to do a short work in the last day.
Yeah.
And our ministry should be short, dynamic, under the power and anointing of the Holy Ghost, with God's wisdom. But then, during Christ's ministry, it was a ministry of power and glory to God.
Amen.
Saving of souls, raising the dead, healing the sick, and teaching. But it was a ministry where he was misunderstood, rejected, spat upon. There was the cavilling of men. He suffered. Don't you think your ministry is going to be a blaze of popularity across the world? If you're going to get converts, you're going to get stones, like Paul. If they hate me, Jesus said, they'll hate you. And the servant is not greater than his master. He's promised us persecution. We're going to get it. You're going to have to include that in your itinerary for your ministry. Hard times, buffetings.
Amen.
Paul said we'll be set with many buffetings, but there's a great and effectual open door. God opens the door, no man's going to close it. God's going to open that door. If God wants his door open, he'll open it. He'll swing it open, and he'll push every devil out of the way, piled against the backside of the door, and every liberal and everyone else. When God opens it, He'll open it, and there will be no withstanding. We don't have to knock that door open. Men put all the big program and money behind it and strain with all the psychology trying to get open that door. Brother, when they get a door open, they go through, get their door open. They don't do anything after they get it open, a lot of them.
That's right.
Of any tremendous value, long-lasting value. But when God opens it, it's going to be open and no man will shut it.
Amen.
And you can do everything you want. When God shuts the door, it's shut. And brother, you're
right.
Dead in the water. You can't preach. You can't heal a soul. You may have prayed for tens of thousands. Coming a day, you'll lay your hand on a person in the name of Jesus and not a reed will stir. Not a thing will happen. Not a devil will blink his eyeball, as it were.
Right.
Not a thing will happen. When God closes the door, you're all done. All done.
Right.
You walk with God and he won't close the door on you.
Amen.
Then Jesus was exalted, glorified, given a name that all the angels in heaven recognized. Father's name. The name which his Father gave him, the scripture says. And he was revealed. And God has called us also in Christ to give us that name and to be in him. That's going to be revealed by the angels of heaven. And we're going to be exalted in due season. God has promised it. And even as Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God was put under him, so also, in Christ, we shall rule and reign with him as heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ the righteous, the scripture says. Be the Lamb's wife. We're going to rule and reign with him.
Amen.
And the kingdoms of this world will be put under us in the millennium. And then it says that every knee shall bow to him. They shall fall at his feet. God says, concerning this day and age, this church age, that those which all say that they are the children of Abraham, the people of God, but are not, but do lie, I'll make them to come and bow at thy feet. They're going to acknowledge that God is among us, that God is with us, that we are the people of God that have held fast the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
This is no braggadocio sermon for us. I don't feel that way at all.
Yeah.
I am saying that if we are faithful to the word of God, God will be faithful to his own word.
Yeah.
And for that reason, for his own namesake and his own word's sake and the saving of his own sons, in the prison houses of the devil,
Amen.
He will use those that will be faithful.
Right.
But he will not use those in the last day to the full extent that will pervert the word. Right now, he'll use anybody and anything he can get to get it out. The scripture even says using enemies to bring the gospel if necessary.
Right.
And then our text says, in closing, and unto them who look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, the second time that he's going to appeal is the time that he appeared to his disciples in the inner circle. When he took with him not the 12, not the 70, not the 12, but the 3, Peter, James, and John, apart, up to the Mount of Transfiguration, which I understand to be lower Mount Hermon. And up there on the Mount of Transfiguration, he was metamorphomai. Outwardly changed to reveal the true nature within. The deity and the fulgence of God burst forth.
Yes.
And Peter says, we were with him in the Holy Mount. We're eyewitnesses of his power and his majesty and of his coming as of his appearing.
Yes.
And that time is the time of the appearing that he saw him in a vision. Tell the vision to no man, till the Son of Man be risen from the dead, God told him, when he came down from the mount. It is the time that we are looking for his appearing.
Right.
The second time he shall appeal. And he shall appeal to some at one time. And the second appearing shall be to another at a later time. Now at that time, it's for those who look for him, who are children of the day and not of the night, who are looking for his coming. This is the hope of the church. He will appear to us who have gone through death with him, who died with him, or dead in Christ, as it were, in the spiritual sense, that we might live and reign with him throughout eternity, those that were satisfied to eat at the tree of life instead of eating at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil,
yes.
But will trust God to tell us what we need to know,
yes.
And just follow him. And not try to have to know everything and reason it out ahead of time.
That's right.
Make no shortcuts, but go through all the furnace processes. You take a clay from the lump to the finished vessel in the palace of God. It has many steps to go through. And you try to shortcut it, miss the file, you're going to end up to be a punky piece of clay without the proper glaze and the beauty and the finish. You cannot omit any step of God and end up to be the final product. So let God take you through the furnace, put you on the wheel, mash you down, take you up, thin you out, thicken you, strengthen you, take the rocks out, paint you, glaze you, furnace, glaze, furnace, glaze, furnace, glaze, furnace, polish. He knows what he's doing. Would you stand, please?